Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. We're going through this book called 7 Ways to Choose Healing by Stephen Arterburn, and we've been dealing with the subject of pain. In order to experience God in all His glory, you must feel your life. You must experience the worst of the pain in it. Pain leaves us empty. As a result, we can fill it up on God. Direct your emptiness to God, or it may lead you somewhere else. Feeling every bit of your life, including the pain, will allow you to connect in new, authentic, and intimate ways. So for your healing time, make time to get away, be still, and quiet your mind. Consider the following questions, some related to specific emotions. What am I missing? Am I feeling empty? What am I filling up on? Why am I refusing to feel? What feelings am I avoiding? And then delve a little deeper. Maybe there's something you're afraid of. Am I afraid of rejection? Am I afraid of being inadequate? Am I afraid someone might control me? Do I avoid doing things because I'm afraid of failing? Am I afraid of doing nothing significant during my lifetime? I suppose as you get older, that becomes a real possibility. Look at your anger. Do I hold a grudge? Am I angry because I feel controlled? Is my past a part of my present because of anger towards someone who hurt me? Am I seeking revenge in any form? Does my anger lead me to negative statements about anyone? And you can think of that verse, Ephesians 4:26, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And then the last emotion that I'm going to talk about is guilt or shame. Am I feeling guilty about a current habit? Do I experience shame from something someone did to me? Am I knowingly involved in a sin? When I feel guilt, am I shutting it down with food or drink? Is there anything I could change to reduce the guilt? In a quiet place with a quiet mind, you may find answers to questions you did not even know you were avoiding. You may find some areas that are sensitive and need resolution. You may discover that feeling your life is not something to avoid. And we'll stop there. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we're seeking you to help us through some of these difficult things, through coming to grips with our own loss and guilt and shame, to coming to grips with our anger. Lord, just really help us. I think of the song, "You washed my eyes with tears that I might see. The broken heart I had was good for me." And Lord, as we pray and consider our lives and those around us, we want to be whole. We want to connect in a meaningful way. We don't want to hurt others. We don't want to pass on the pain that we've experienced. So help us, Lord. I also hold up to you, Lord, our prayer requests, those that are suffering from COVID, those that have lost jobs. We pray for them, Lord, and we pray for our nation. We just ask that your glory work throughout every situation. Thank you so much for hearing our prayers. Thank you for being with this show. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. And we're talking about gifts you can make. I do not want to leave out ornaments. For me, I keep one box of all the homemade ornaments, and that goes on my Christmas tree last. So I'm going to talk about it. I have the air-dried clay ornaments that are painted with my child's name on the background or grandchild's name in the year. I have the ornaments that are made with toothpicks, little toothpicks kind of set together like popsicle sticks, but they're toothpicks and they frame a beautiful manger scene from an old Christmas card. I have a frame made out of popsicle sticks that has been painted with gold and glitter, framing a child's picture. I have bulbs, clear bulbs that pictures or little scenes have been set inside. I have real eggs that have been, you know, holes poked in and drained and then painted on. And I have some lovely foam ornaments that, you know, shape of the Christmas tree with little foam circles and things to put on for lights. I have wreaths. I have an angel made with white yarn and little doily for the back wings. So you can wax pretty creative, and you will know that someone who adores your kids and adores you would love to receive a gift like that. So when you come to your arts and crafts time, start early and make those Christmas gifts. They'll be treasured forever. Curriculum Corner. Well, I just had to share this, how to choose a perfect Christmas tree. I mean, there's a lot that goes on in choosing the perfect Christmas tree. This family is a friend of mine. They also homeschool and they have 5 daughters. So here is how to choose the perfect Christmas tree. First of all, attempt to dress all of the children in warm, cleanish, matchingish coats, hats, and mittens. Next, drive to 3 different tree farms before you find one that's open. Then argue for approximately an hour about what makes the perfect tree while mom has a mini panic attack that she's going to lose the 5-year-old in the tree rows. At last, settle on the perfect tree. Argue again about what makes the perfect tree. Everyone changes their minds at least 10 times. Finally, mom chooses a different tree and refuses to budge or even look at another tree. So then you saw down the tree with dad's ancient rusty Christmas tree handsaw. Take lots of silly pictures. Drink hot chocolate from thermoses packed by the middle sister. Then desperately look for a bathroom after drinking all that hot chocolate. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. I just had to share that because we can have our spats and arguments and all of that, but Christmas does bring families together and it creates memories, and it's usually in those times when we were really arguing about things or determined to do something our way, and later it's resolved and we go, oh, that was just a good memory. That was just a debate. We were just having a debate. And that brings up the connection to Curriculum Corner. So when you have these arguments in your family, how can you turn them into a debate? First of all, call it a debate. And second of all, teach some basic rules for debate. You can't all talk at the same time. You have to take turns. And then you need someone to judge your debate. It's no fun debating if no one's there to judge it. And that's another great parent tip, because if you don't like your kids arguing, just walk away. It's just no fun arguing if there's nobody there to judge it. But if you're intentionally wanting the kids to think about what makes a perfect Christmas tree or what makes anything the best, you will want everybody's ideas. And after the event, take a few minutes and do a little debriefing. We call it what you like and what you would change. We try to stay away from negative words. We just want the pluses and the deltas. Well, that concludes the Curriculum Corner. Questions parents ask. So this question is, does anyone else in homeschooling take the whole month of December off? Well, I'm here to tell you that this year there's actually whole school districts taking the whole month of December off, mainly because they're predicting that January and February will be very terrible with the virus and the pandemic But I think it probably already is quite terrible in some places right now as I speak, because I'm hearing of people who are dying and people who are very sick that I know in a personal way. So I know the numbers are up. It is the flu season. Whether it's all COVID, that is still in suspect, because it could be that they report everything as COVID, whether it is or not. I don't know. I don't buy too much into the conspiracy theories, but you just never know. So should you take a month off? I'm here to say that even when you take a month off from traditional schooling, your kids are still learning. Their minds are like sponges. And in some ways, I think they even learn better. You know, when you squeeze a sponge and get all the moisture out, then it's ready to soak up another batch of liquid. But if you just constantly put liquid into that sponge, it just can't absorb anymore. And so these breaks that our children have are so important. The summer break, the spring break, Thanksgiving break, a break through the weekend, you know, at the end of each week, that break. They're all so important because our brains need time to rest. And I think when I think of technology and how much we're exposed to technology, I often wonder if that isn't working against us because we're still pouring so much information into our brain. So yes, take the month off. Take the month off and enjoy. You've been listening to Homeschool Companion. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure and like us on Facebook at Homeschool Companion, or partner with us. Send us a contribution or a show suggestion at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783, or call us at 301-824-3162. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Homeschool Companion. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and today we're going to talk with Brian Bird and Michelle Cox, and we're going to talk about your devotional that was based on the Hallmark Channel hit, When Calls the Heart, and the devotional is by the same title, correct?
Well, it's almost the same almost title, Rose. Same. It's When God Calls the Heart. So we added God into the
Yeah,
into
that's
the title.
A huge addition.
It yes. is. An important one.
So I'm going to tell you a little bit about each person. So Brian Bird is the executive producer and co-creator of the Hallmark Channel original series, When Calls the Heart. He has more than three decades in Hollywood and has produced 24 films, including Case for Christ, which we've talked about before on this show, Captive and Not Easily Broken, and has produced more than 250 episodes of TV shows such as Touched by an Angel, Step by Step, Evening Shade. His films have garnered awards from the New York Independent Film Festival, New York Festivals, Heartland Film Festival, the Movie Guide Awards, the Telly Awards, and the Christopher Awards. He has spoken widely on the intersection of the arts and the church in his professional blog, and you can go there, brianbird.net, serves as a great exchange in the best practices of storytelling. Beyond Bird's professional achievements, he considers his top productions to date is his 36-year marriage to wife Patty and his five children. Welcome, Brian. Now I'm going to talk about Michelle. Michelle Cox is a speaker and an award-winning, best-selling author. She is the member of the blog team for Guideposts, and her Life with a Southern Grandmother column runs twice each week at guideposts.org. She has written for Focus on the Family, FoxNews.com, Christian Cinema. Now, is that WHOA?
It was WHOA Magazine.
WHOA Magazine for Women, Leading Hearts Magazine, and the website of Fox News radio host Todd Starnes. Michelle is the creator of Just 18 Summers brand of parenting products and resources, and has been a guest on numerous television and radio programs, including Hannity and Focus on the Family. She and her husband, Paul, have been married for 43 years. So you beat
I did.
Brian.
He's got to catch up with me.
Yes, and have 3 sons and 6 perfect grandchildren. Aren't grandchildren always perfect?
They are just without a doubt.
Absolutely. You can connect with Michelle at just18summers.com, and in the number 18, it's not spelled out, it's just the number 18. So just18summers.com or godglimpses.com, on Twitter at Michelle Inspire, and on Facebook at facebook.com/MichelleCox Inspiration. Welcome to the show. I know you probably feel exhausted after I have shared these bios.
Listeners probably are.
I feel exhausted. But I wondered what inspired you to, first of all, co-write, and then second of all, a devotional based on something that we would consider, you know, live media rather than nature or...
Michelle, you start. You tell our pizza story.
Well, actually, it started with pizza. We were both on faculty at the Blue Ridge Mountain Christian Writers Conference. I've known Brian for probably 7 or 8 years, and we've been on faculty together at conferences a good bit through the years. And so it's tradition during the conference to take one night, go out for pizza for the faculty. So group of about 20 of us, we just so happened to sit next to each other, or so we thought at the time. And we started talking, and I had a message to deliver to Brian from my 7-year-old granddaughter who loves When Calls the Heart. And she said to please tell him that she loves it when Jack and Elizabeth kiss, and to ask him if he could make that happen more often. So I delivered the message. We talked about the show, and then Brian mentioned that he had always wanted to do a devotional book, but he knew there was no way to get that done in time for the release of the new season, which was February 18th. And this was May 23rd of last year, then, when we were talking. And I told him, I said, you know, I think I know one publisher that could do it. And so we kept talking. And by the end of the evening, it just made such great sense for the two of us to work together on it. And so I emailed my publisher that night. 2 minutes later, had a reply, yes, we want to do this book. And by the end of June, we had it finished and into the publisher.
Wow.
They all happen like that, right? All books just get off the ground over pizza.
You wish.
Yeah, so the collaboration of the writing, then, you know, you would write some, and
you know, we just put our fingers into the lemonade and mix them like little kids do. The beautiful part of this partnership, Rose, is that Michelle has written multiple devotionals in her career, and so she understood sort of the brevity that you need and how to structure them. What I brought to the table was all these episodes of television that I knew, right? We've done 5 seasons of the show now, and the devotional is based on the first 40 episodes of When Calls the Heart on the Hallmark Channel. And so we would use each devotional, or use each episode as sort of the jumping off point for a devotional. Look for the God moments that we as the filmmakers have woven into the storytelling, and then go deeper.
Well, and that's what's so beautiful about what Brian does with When Calls the Heart, and now with the devotional book, is that we're reaching people who, many of them have never gone to church, many of them have never even opened a Bible. And we heard this week about a group of teenagers. Their families had taken refuge at a hotel from flooding. And one of our hearties, the fans of the show, saw an impromptu group of teenage boys and girls having a devotional session. And their parents looked bewildered, and she asked them about it. And she said, the dad said, you don't understand, these kids don't go to church. They've never opened a Bible. And there they were, because of the power of the show. They were interested, and the parents had bought the book as an impulse, and God was using it to reach kids who had probably never heard about him before.
And the time that we live in, really, our young people are under attack. they're feeling that uneasiness, you know, am I going to be alive tomorrow? And what, you know, Satan has meant for their harm, God is using this as a time where they're very open to something bigger than themselves.
You know, good stories aren't secular or Christian. They're just good stories because God has wired to all human beings a hunger for story. It's food for the soul, right?
Yes.
That's why literature and stories have been told since for their little kids, right? So it's the power of story stirs up soul cravings. That's why these young people who fell in love with our show now want to go deeper and read more and learn more about those God moments because they're hungry for them. It's been wired into all human beings. And we all seek God in different ways. Some of us don't find him at church or in the Bible. We buy cars. We buy homes. We go to art galleries looking for God. And he's there already. And he's there in most stories. All redemptive stories come from the heart of the Father. So I just believe in stirring up soul cravings to further hungry conversations among real people. And our book is meant as a tool for those real people to have those conversations.
And our listeners can go to either of your websites to get it?
Or they can also go to whengodcallstheheart.com and get all the information about the book.
When God Calls the Heart, and he's calling each heart. Well, let's start with chapter one. I want to whet my listeners' appetite for this. The beautiful, my favorite verse, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. What a wonderful passage. So the title of this section is Dream Big and Expect Surprises. Just, you don't have to tell us the whole story, but just kind of whet our appetite.
Well, you know, Elizabeth Thatcher was a young woman who had been raised in a wealthy family on the East Coast, but she had a dream on her heart to go west to teach children in a small coal mining town. And so she left what she knew and traveled there, and she expected that the people would meet her with enthusiasm, but it was a bit different when she arrived. She'd been attacked on the stagecoach by some outlaws and ended up bedraggled as she limped into town, and they were a little standoffish because they didn't want a princess. They needed a teacher who could manage the life. And so she'd never, you know, been familiar with outhouses and starting wood stoves. But God had put a dream on her heart, and he does the same for us. And, you know, sometimes it takes that first step of faith to really reach the dream, because as long as you stand back and do nothing, the dream's not going to happen. And I know personally, I don't want to get to the end of my life and look back and think I missed all the things that God had for me. So I love what Elizabeth did, and I think it's a wonderful thing for the rest of us to do as well. And we have his word to fall back on and his sweet whispers to our heart to guide us in the direction that he wants us to go.
We're going to continue with our interview with Brian Bird and Michelle Koch. We'll have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.